Hi, everybody. Welcome to the greatest networkers in the world. I am John Fogg. My guest today is going to tell you about something I think is just, It's radical common sense. The radical part is that for years I've been preaching to the point of screeching about relationship-based prospecting in this business. And this gentleman does that. That's exactly what he does. It's personal. He makes it personal. What you're going to hear about today is called the coffee shop interview. And what he does is he sits down with people, live and in person or on the phone, and he interviews them. And the vast majority of this conversation is about who and how they are in their lives. And that's not popular. The rock and roll business builders in this business say, oh, that takes too much time. You know, there's plenty of time after you sign them up to get to know them, to become their friend. And this guy just does the absolute opposite of that. And he makes over $1 million a year doing it. He's got hundreds of thousands of people in his organization. He's flying. I think he's the number one guy in his company in terms of building right now, got the most activity going in his group. So proof positive that what he's doing is working. Now, under the heading of transparency, I've got to tell you, I've got a special relationship with this man in a number of ways. We are both recovering alcoholics. He's got 24 years. I'm coming up on 1 year. And I treat him as a mentor and a sponsor in that area. I also treat him as a mentor and a sponsor in the area of building a business in network marketing because he is my mentor and he is my sponsor. So, under complete or full disclosure, there you have it. I'm talking to my sponsor now. Now, we're not going to pitch our company on you. You don't have to worry about that. But you're going to hear details, and that's the special relationship we've got. I've already told you that the man puts his money where his mouth is and his mouth where his money is. He's the real deal. He has succeeded in this business like many leaders say they have. And haven't. This guy's really done it. I admire him greatly. He is over the top. It seems like if you snap your fingers, he'll just jump up and down and just be so excited. Wow, how does he do it? Well, one reason he does it is because he's been a radio show host for years. I think he has the oldest, longest-running home business radio show in the free world, certainly that I'm aware of. And, you know, radio hosts, I've done enough radio to know. I mean, part of our job is to be positive and enthusiastic, especially about our guests, and he is all that and more. He's also got a work ethic that he keeps gently. Some days it's gentle, some days it's not, shoving down my throat. Do two conversations, bring me one three-way every day. That's it. That's what I do. You got to do what I do. In that sense, he's old school. I consider him new school in the sense of this focus on relationships and a real mastery of it. He's got a website you might check out. It's a website certainly for his business enterprise, he and his wife, Denise. It's called Masters of Enrollment. You can find a written piece on this interview that we're going to review today, that we're going to talk about today, which you can download, where you'll learn more about him and what he's into. And please, it is a site for his opportunity and his company. So if that's not where you want to go, don't go there. But this is a man it would be very, very worth your knowing. And his name is Tom Chenault. Good day, sir.
Hello, John Milton Fogg. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. where did the coffee shop interview come from, beside A, your love for coffee, and B, your sharp business acumen that wanted to be able to write off all the coffee you drank?
The coffee shop, before I, can I, I'm going to clean up a couple of things. I need to tell you, I don't make $1 million a year. And I thought that this year I might hit that magic number, but I fell a little short, and I just don't like saying anything that isn't true. So I want you to know that.
I won't dare ask you how little you fell short.
It's a great number, but it's not that number, and I don't want to be, you know, all I want to do is be 100% transparent and authentic today. And the second thing is, don't go to mastersofenrollment.com. It is a site that is, it's got all my, you know, it's got my company in it. This conversation is not about my company. No conversation is about my company. I do everything I can in conversation to keep my company out of the conversation, because my conversations are between two human beings about the human being I'm sitting across the table from. And what I am anti is all the company conversations people have long before they should be having them, and that's why they hear all the stuff that they hear, like rejection, is this a pyramid scheme, how much money are you making, all those questions to get rid of you that you hear. The reason they're saying that is because you talked about your company far too early.
Very cool. Okay, sorry for my transgressions and grateful for the corrections in more ways than one. Back to my question. Where did this start for you? I can't believe for a minute you started out doing this. I'll bet you anything you started out bringing up your opportunity as fast as you could. Is that true?
If you were to sit down with me right now and slap a Myers-Briggs personality test right in front of me, I would take the test and you would find out that I'm a closet introvert. And inside of that, you would also find out that that person that I am, inside of that test that you can't cheat on, hates rejection. And I wanted to be successful in network marketing, and I watched all the people that were successful in network marketing, and I was desperate to be able to be as successful as them. And the only way that I could do that was to figure out a way to have people not tell me no. And so I said, how can that possibly come to be? And it was kind of like I've already invented the rest of my life. I have found out what people want to buy, and then I sold that to them. Instead of acting like a carnival barker, throwing some conversation about money like you're going to be a millionaire, or a product like you're going to be able to fly, I ask people what they want to buy, and then that's what I talk to them about. And I actually ask them what they don't want to buy, what they don't like about my company or about network marketing. And by the time I have a conversation with them about my opportunity, I already know the answers to the questions. And at that point, I also know if they're going to say yes or not. And if they're not a prospect for what I've got, we don't go any farther. I maintain the friendship and the relationship.
Your agenda is to find out if this person is a fit with you and your opportunity or not. Is that an accurate statement?
No. My agenda, every day, and I consciously have this thought process every day in my life, is to have a conversation with any human being whereby they feel better having spoken with me than when they got there. So that's the agenda. And when you're walking into a conversation with no agenda except to serve, then you've got space for what they want and if it fits for what you want. And if it does, then you're able to take any conversation wherever you want it to go. But I hated network marketing when I first got in it, because I had to look at every person as a prospect. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that agenda-driven conversation. And today, I look at every person as a person that I can make a contribution to. And inside of that, all of a sudden, everything shifts, because everybody, it seems, that I meet is looking for better health, more time, or more money. And so it's my job to figure out which one of those three is popping their eyes open at 2 o'clock in the morning and help them get that in their life. And it's so much easier than the way everybody else is doing it, trying to push the pig through the python snake. It's just logic. If you can be interested instead of interesting, and I did not coin that line, I think Tim Sales did. So I want to do that in every conversation I have. I spend that time to get into people's lives to figure out what they want, because they're far more likely to buy what they want versus what I want to sell them. So did that answer that?
It does. How do you find people to talk to, Tom?
I have problems finding people that don't want to talk to me. And the reason is because my conversations with people are all about them. And there's very few people on this planet that don't want to talk about their favorite subject, which is themselves. So it is not a case of finding people to talk to. It's more of a problem with me finding time to talk to all the people that want to talk about themselves. And in the course of a day, you know, you talked early in the conversation about the 12-step program and the various things that we've done in our lives. I feel great responsibility to most human beings. So therefore, I have a lot more conversations with people about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness than the normal person does that's out there sorting for that business builder. But when you only need 4 business builders in your business to make whatever number it is, $20,000 a month, $30,000 a month, it's pretty ludicrous to me that people are flying through these superficial numbers games conversations. It's better for me, if I'm only looking for 4 people to get rich in my life, I've got time to do that. And I've got time to find people I want to partner with that resonate with Tom Chenault. And most of the people that I partner with, other people don't like. I mean, it's that simple because, you know, I'm kind of a goofball myself, but I've been able to build an incredibly great team of people that like me that I like. And that's what this is all about. This isn't corporate America where people fit into some sort of cookie cutter. There's 4 people out there for literally everybody. And all I have to do is help them understand how to identify those people, train those people, and have an ongoing relationship with those people.
Okay, Tommy, let's dive into the conversation itself. How do you begin?
In a conversation with anybody? With anybody. I look at it with whatever human being I meet. That's a great question. If I don't have something related to them instantly, if I'm not, you know, I've got a pretty nice car, and if I drive up and I see they're driving, I just went to a coffee shop and a guy's driving a Mini Cooper S. That thing was washed, it was waxed, it was beautiful, and I just sat down and I started talking cars, because a guy that takes that much care of his car is a car guy, and that opened up the conversation. And I usually, and I'm using that as an example, because everybody I meet, I usually try to figure out what it is they like most about themselves. And it's astounding how easy that is to do, whether it's a handbag with a woman, whether it might be a great pair of Versace sunglasses they've got on. They are usually, there's a pride and joy there somewhere. It might be their children. Whatever it looks like it's obvious to me that is their favorite topic, it opens up the conversation. It's easy because we're talking about them, not talking about me. And most of the time, you can get related in 2 seconds by asking them about something awesome in their life.
Tell me how it progresses. Are there? I'm anti scripts. And
I hate scripts.
Yeah, I was gonna take the wild guess, and I've got a little insider trading information on this one that you're not crazy about them too. And still, I'm sure that there are pet questions that have become pet questions because they just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Are there questions in this initial phase that you tend to ask people, or ways that you ask questions that you've seen work and you keep using again and again because they work?
Yeah, And I was, here's the deal on that, John. If you meet somebody and you truly care about human beings and you're having conversations and you say, hey, look, what's going on with you health-wise, man? The guy's going to tell you, I want to lose some weight. I've got diabetes. I've got heart trouble. I've got something like that. Or they're going to say, I work out all the time. Man alive, all I am, I'm a triathlete. I've got 4% body fat. I have a picture of me in my wallet. And all of those things that I hear, I note. I make sure that it's either written down or the minute they leave, I write it in my daytimer. Guy did four. I've got a guy, John Boyd, the guy that just sold me a new little car that I'm going to drive down to Longmont, kind of like a smart car because I don't want to waste a bunch of gas down there. So I'm going to drive a really goofy car that everybody's telling me I'm crazy that I bought. But John Boyd, last year, ran 14 marathons. And this guy's a great guy, and he's just all over it. And he's taken a product called Gatorade, and I said, look, I think I can do better than that. And I didn't say that at the point that we were talking, but I wrote that down, and I've got notes on him. This guy doesn't need to get baseline nutrition. He needs elite athlete nutrition, and that just goes into my database. He sells cars, I told you that, and he's running hither, thither, and yon to make $100,000 a year. And he's leaving his three children, Corbin, Conroy, and Bianca, behind every day, chasing that almighty dollar all over Colorado, delivering a car to my driveway, which was 2.5 hours away. And I'm going to wait a while, and I'm going to call that guy back on the phone, and I'm going to say, look, you know, I've got a product that you might want to take a look at. I need you to go to this website, and he's going to take a look at the website, and just listen to what this video offer elite athletes about really, really spiking up your physiology and your exercise. Or I'm going to call him on the phone and say, you know, don't you get tired of missing Conroy's karate? Don't you get tired of missing Bianca's ballet? How would you like to talk to me about talking to a friend of mine about maybe giving you the same kind of money or more money with a little more time? Because you don't have any time, John. You are missing your children's life. That's what happens there. I'm constantly selling him what he doesn't have. John Boyd's got, in his opinion, money. $100,000 a year is a lot of money. But at the same time, he's got no time. So his number one commodity isn't money, it's time. And on the health front, any elite athlete will do anything to increase their time. They'll do anything. They'll take steroids and all that jazz. And to be able to tell these people I can give them a healthy alternative to that is a gift to them. And they'll walk across coals for those two gifts, time. And in his case, if I were to talk to John Boyd about me, he thinks he makes all the money. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
So my job, number one, If I were to do like 99% of the multi-level marketers that I know, sitting at the table, all of a sudden I'm really interested in the guy, and I'm telling him how much I just really think he's a rock star, and he's a great-looking guy, he looks like Ray Liotta, and he's in incredible shape, and he's a great salesman, he sold me the car, and by the way, I'm going to go out to my car, and I'm going to get a whole box of products, and here's these products that I've got, and you got to try these products, and here's my comp plan, and you got to go. We're going to make a millionaire out of you, and you're going to have all the time in the world. All of a sudden, we went from a conversation to an agenda, and I look exactly like a network marketer, like a crazed network marketer again. Instead, I wait till tomorrow, or I wait 3 or 4 days, and I say, look, I've been thinking about you. And the guy steps back one step and goes, Jiminy Christmas, somebody was thinking about me. And I was thinking about Bianca. I was thinking about Corbin, and I was thinking about Conroy, and I was thinking about the time that you don't get to spend with them, and I really want you to talk to somebody that I know that could probably help you get more time inside of the week you're already spending. So I realize that you are buried. There's only 168 hours in a week, and you're working 100 of them already. I don't want to add any more time spent to that already busy daytimer. I want to show you how to maximize that time and monetize that time in a way that you might not have thought of otherwise. Would you have a conversation with my friend? Heck yes, they're going to have a conversation with him. That makes sense, John?
Yes, it does. You've given that example of how you bridge or segue into the business side of the conversation. Do you have any other things, Tom, you can say about that? And I'm asking because it seems to me to be the place where people who they buy in to the efficacy of the coffee shop interview. They know it's the right thing to do. And they actually are good at, and we're all good at, getting to know people if we set aside that agenda. The tough part for a lot of people comes in, how do you bridge that conversation into business? Number one, a question I get asked all the time, how do you know when to bring it up? So let me ask that part first. How do you know when to do that?
Well, that's because everybody's trying to bring it up in the first conversation, and the answer is you don't. Stop it. Stay there. If this person is one of those four people that is going to, if you're trying to make $20,000 a month and you need four people to make five in order for you to make 20, you've got more than one chance at this person. And if you can just keep that agenda out of there and don't worry about when to close. And I know I'm contradicting every expert out there, and trust me, I have nothing but respect for those experts. I'm only speaking to what Tom Chenault does. I don't. I come back with the close. I want these people to leave that conversation with me, calling their best friend on the phone and said, I just had the greatest conversation with Tom Chenault I've ever had. It was unbelievable. And the friend says, oh, really? What'd you talk about? And they kind of pause and they go, oh, everything under the sun. Because what they didn't want to say was me. They don't know anything about me. All they talked about was them. And that was why they had such a great conversation, because they were talking about them, and they thought we were having a conversation, and basically they were being interrogated. And that's that simple, man. And so I don't close. I never close in that first conversation. Unless they absolutely grab me by the throat and say, Tom, what is it you do? What is it that I can do myself? If they grab me by the throat, I have to do it. But that wasn't your question. And that's happened to me many times before because I've done it that well. And Marianne Niehaus, my assistant, if you call her on the phone and interview her about the interview, she'll tell you it is unbelievable. It's uncanny. These people just transform from suspicion to relatedness instantly, and the next thing they're doing their job for you, they're closing themselves. But to answer your question the way that you wanted me to answer it, I don't close it. I wait till a couple of days later, and I think about what they wanted to buy, and I call up, and I offer to sell that to them through a third party. The three-way call, which I talked to, I think I've mentioned that to you once in a while, John, that you need to do a three-way call every day. So I do a three-way call once in a while. I do a three-way call with my upline. I have sent the interview notes on this person to my upline, and the upline reads them, and he speaks straight into the person's listening instead of just broadcasting a bunch of blather at the person that they don't care about. That's the difference here. This is finely tuned, man. It is absolutely an incision, and it works like a charm. I cannot figure out why everybody's not doing it.
It's interesting because you are embodying a story that I heard long ago, 20 plus years ago, and Richard Brook told me this story, and it's a true story. It's about an editor of Psychology Today magazine, and the man was writing a book, and he gave himself a research project for the sake of writing his book, and that was he would buy a first-class plane ticket from New York to L.A., and the task he gave himself, the project, if you will, was he knew he was going to sit down next to somebody, and what he would do for that entire flight was only ask questions, and he wanted to see what would happen. In fact, he gets on the plane, sits down, and for the 6-hour transcontinental flight, that's all he does, ask questions. No declarative statements. He reveals no information. He had a research assistant of his meet his seatmate in L.A. after the plane landed and interview the guy. And two really salient points came out of the interview. Number one, the guy who sat next to the editor of Psychology Today didn't know his name. So that's right in line with be interested, not interesting. People know nothing about you. This guy knew nothing about this editor at all. But the second point was the magic point. He said that this guy that he sat next to, the editor of Psychology Today magazine, who for 6 hours only asked him questions, was the single most interesting person he ever met in his life.
That is so true. It is comical. It's the
well,
best.
You do it. That's what you
I
do.
Know it.
Very cool. I know that at some point you get down and dirty in your conversation with this person after you've called them back, after you said, hey, I've been thinking about you, and you touch base with the things that they really, really need, even if when they started talking to you, they didn't know they needed it. They really need or really want most in their lives. How do you discuss, how do you get it to the business of the business with them, Tom?
If I decide that they're one of my guys that I want to jump in the foxhole with, they need to know how important they are to me. And they need to know how important I am to them. And it is a partnership. Network marketing is a partnership. If you look at all of the calls that happen on a nightly basis with generic speakers training network marketers, you can go in, if you hear 500 people on a call of Doug Feuerbach, you can see, or Danny Johnson, you can see 500 people without an upline. That's all that boils down to. This business is partnership. So the name of the game, and Garrett McGrath coined this line, I don't know if he stole it, but he says, what we do in this business is we go broke enthusiastically and take other people with us. And my goal is to have people know that they are not going to be left on the beach. There is no way that I am enrolling you in my business and we are not going to go as far as you're willing to take it. I leave nobody behind. And it's that simple. If you are willing to do what I do, I can promise you, you can get what I've got. But it's going to mean that you're doing what I do every day. And John Fogg, you are living proof. I remind people every day of what I do and what I'm up to. Because if there's a breakdown, it's going to be a breakdown in partnership. And as a partner of mine, I am looking for the greatness in you. And I'm going to tell you that. Sitting at the table, I'm going to say, look, here's where I see us going. You told me you want to make $12,000 a month. You need to do it in the next 24 months. Here's what you need to do to get there, and here's where I am in this journey. And we are partnered up on this thing. I'm going to hold up my end of the game. You hold up your end of the game, and we're going to get you there from here. And it's that straight. And in that coffee shop interview, I forgot to say something to you that was pretty critical. I also asked them about their network marketing experience that, you know, let's talk about multi-level marketing. And if those people say multi-level marketing sucks, I hate it, it's the biggest pyramid scam, blah, 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 if they throw up on me with all that, guess what? It's pretty simple. I go back and I sell them my health product, but they're gone. They're gone. I don't need to be talking people into understanding this industry. Somebody else will be able to do that. They're going to come back around the bend one of these days and find me, but they got crossed off the list. Most of the time, they don't say they hate it with a passion. They hate some component. And almost always, it was the fact that they got signed up and dropped like a lead balloon. But there's all kinds of things people don't like about network marketing. And I ask them about it. I want that elephant out of the refrigerator. And then I also ask them what they love about it. And they're going to say the residual income component, the leveraging of people component, whatever it is. And I write that down too. Because when we come back around the bend, we are going to emphasize what they love, and we're going to minimize what they don't. That make sense to you?
Absolutely. Let me hit you with something. I do a lot of my deal beginning on Facebook.
That's the best place to start.
It's a great start, and I really pitch it, recommend it strongly to people, because you can make the connection. You've got the opportunity to run to somebody's profile page, and you can see by what's there and by what's not there. You can learn a whole lot about them before you engage them in conversation. And you then use the message function. And the goal of the message is to get them off Facebook and on the phone. That's absolutely the goal. But in that process, you can find out a lot of the stuff, Tom, that you talked about being important. So right now I'm looking at a message I got from a lady that I'm prospecting, and I want to read you the salient chunk of it and ask what you would do with this. Okay? You up for that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Cool. With our time limits and other business, we feel that we cannot put in the necessary time now to start up with this business. We are not sure if it is the right fit for us. Would you be willing to answer a few more questions? Tell me what you'd do with that.
Okay, so something's popping open that lady's eyes at 2 o'clock in the morning, and what's popping her eyes open at 2 o'clock in the morning is time. She is rode hard and put away wet, and it nauseates her to think that she is going to have to add yet one more thing to that already busy plate. So if you tell her she's got to give 15 hours a week to her home-based business with you, she's out the door because she doesn't have 15 hours left. If you have a conversation with her whereby she is not taking time away, she's just taking conversations that she's already having with people, and instead of dropping those conversations meaninglessly off on the wayside, she's taking those conversations too. You know what? I know a guy that might be able to help you with that. His name is John Fogg, and I partner with him. And once she realizes that at the very beginning she's nothing more than a tour guide, she thinks in her mind that she's going to be going, and I can't read her mind, but I'm going to project this, that she's going to be going to meetings every night and doing all this crazy stuff, and there's going to be this huge time commitment that she doesn't have. And your job into that is not argue that. Arguing with people, you never win. They might agree while you're on the phone, but the minute you're out of sight, they're going back to their same argument. You've got to put into place where your job, you are completely present to the fact that she doesn't have any time, and your goal isn't to take more time out of her life, but to start giving her some hours back. So you need to sell that lady what she wants to buy, which is more time. And the way that she does it is to partner with you and let you show her how to do that. Yeah, so that's an easy conversation because she told you which one of the three was most important.
Tom, do you agree with this phrase, promise them what they want, but give them what they need?
Yeah, absolutely. And but you also have to be able to deliver on the promise. One of the big problems in network marketing is we'll do anything to get somebody to sign up, and we'll lie and we'll cheat and we'll steal, and you know, because we're just so afraid of rejection, all we say is yes. And so in that promise them what they want, being, you know, and I'm really scared of that because I think it's given this business a black eye. Here's what ends up happening in network marketing. You think you got in for the money. But at the end of the day, you might have made a lot of money, but the relationships and the time and the help that you got was far more valuable to you than the money that you came in for. So 90% of the time when I get involved with people, I got involved with them for one reason, and I find out that God's plan was 10 times bigger than my plan, and something else came out of that that was far more important than their initial reason for partnering with me. Something happened in our relationship where they were either able to contribute to me at a level I never dreamt possible, where I was able to contribute to them at a level that I never dreamt possible. And so many miracles come out of this because you go deep with people. Again, you are building relationships. One thing I hate about the network marketing industry is so much of the scorecard is predicated on how many people you sign up. And in network marketing, and the reason that we call my website mastersofenrollment.com, not mastersofhowmanyyousignup.com, is because it starts when they sign up. It doesn't end when people sign up. It starts there. And if we can remember that, this industry is going to get a whole lot better look to it than this crazy sign-up game where people buy $300 worth of product and it's under the bed because they didn't know what to do with it when they got it.
Tom, at some point in, and you have this written in the coffee shop interview, at some point in your conversation, when you're talking about the business of the business, you bring up a variety of sums of money to people, and you start small, and you grow it a little higher and a little higher and a little higher and a little higher. Talk to me about that. How do you do that, and what's the point? What are you trying to accomplish there?
Okay, so in the initial interview with somebody, I can only use my own comp plan here because I don't know yours, but in my own comp plan, depending on the person, I'm going to ask them what they're going to do with $48 a month. And if they're young and they're dead broke, or that was probably a stereotype on the young, I'm going to ask them about $48. If $48 is like meaningless to somebody, I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to ask them about $48. I'm going to ask them about $200. I'm going to ask them about $900. I'm going to ask them about $12,000 a month. And if they've ever made $12,000 a month in their life, which is a pretty low number of people, believe it or not, I'm going to ask them about $60,000 a month. And the reason I'm going to ask those questions is because, A, I want to know where the number is in their life, where their dreams are, where their goals go to their dreams. And the second thing, it really gives me a read on what they would do with the money. And the beautiful part about it is when I call back 3 or 4 days later and I say, I've got an idea for you, I want you to talk to my friend, my upline, whoever it is. We're having a conversation, and instead of having this goofy, you're going to make $3,000 a month, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You're going to make $12,000 a month, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. If I can link the money in the comp plan to what they want out of their life, it blows their head off. Because they're hearing, guess what? $12,000 a month, you're able to move into that house in Lake Havasu, you're able to put your kids through college, and you're able to retire your husband, which you told me was the most important thing in your life. And all of a sudden, it has meaning. Money is meaningless. It's what money does that means something. And we're all just out there throwing numbers around, that $1 million a year. All those numbers that we talk about, they don't mean anything until people understand what it really means to have it or do it. And it's all personal. 90% of the stuff I hear in that interview that they would do with the money, I wouldn't have that as a goal in my life, which is beautiful because it's not my goal. But now I know what their goal is. I call them back. They told me no. Let's assume that they said, you know, I'm not really interested in talking to you. And I talk to them 6 months later, and I pull out that interview, and I look at them and say, did you ever get that house in Lake Havasu you were thinking about? Were you ever able to retire your husband? And they're blown away. They can't believe I remembered that. And they go, no, I'm still working on it. And you look them in the eye and say, you know what? I'd really like to talk to you one more time about that. So that's why I do that. It makes it personal. It makes it doable. It makes it achievable.
What do you think and feel about the word close?
Hate it. Hate it. You know, I like the word open. We are opening the possibility of a lifetime in business with me. We're not closing anything. We're opening everything. Again, we're going back to that conversation. Everybody predicates it on the close. How many this did you do? How many that do you do? If we're going to figure out anything, let's figure out how many lives we changed.
Okay. You've had the conversation up to this point. You have a sense of what kind of income they're looking for and what that income represents in terms of reality, the house in Lake, wherever you talked about, the car, the education for the kids, the travel, whatever it is they're passionate about and they dream of. You're coming down a four-lane highway. You got green lights as far as you can see. How do you, quote-unquote, bring them into the business?
Smart question. In Alcoholics Anonymous, which obviously I talked about a lot in my life, you go to a 90 meetings in 90 days when you first go in those rooms. You buy this thing called a big book, which is 164 pages long, and you get something called a sponsor to help you read that very elementary textbook. Network marketing is exactly the same way. You jump in the foxhole with people, and you walk them down the road that first 90 days or however long it is that it's going to take them to develop the muscle called network marketing, because so few people are trained in this profession. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. There is no profession out there where people think they're going to get it by osmosis. There are skill sets, but the best way to do it is to go with somebody that's done it. And so that's what I do. I grab people, I hold their hand, so to speak, and I walk them through it, kicking and screaming a lot of the time. And they get off course, just exactly like in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I put them back in the lane. And that's that simple. It's not a difficult process. It's just a process of partnership. And if I can teach four people to do that and do it that seriously with that much integrity and diligence, they're going to go find four, which turns into 16, which turns into 64, which turns into 256, which turns into 1,024, which turns into 4,096. And the next thing you know, you're standing back looking at $60,000 a month coming in, saying, you know what? I built myself a foundation with integrity, and look what happened to me. It's crazy.
Let me take a step back. Your answer was great, but I had another question in mind. I didn't phrase it properly. So you've had this conversation, and you've learned all this stuff about them. They seem thoroughly engaged and enrolled in the idea. How do you move from that point to signing up, to taking them through the process? You know, what do? Call a home office, take them to a website? How do you move them to that? Is there
every,
a phrase? Go ahead.
Here it is. I'm going with you. I don't send you. We're going to enroll together. We're going to start this process together. Unless they are fighting and screaming on Tuesday night of this week, this couple said, no, we're going to go home and do it. It's Thursday. It's still not done. Left to their own devices, they're going to go back to their life, especially at the very beginning, and do it tomorrow. So, again, I go back to my other 12-step program. I've got to sit on them at the very beginning to get them to start developing that muscle called accountability and integrity. Another thing that I've got to talk about, Joe, that you just accidentally hit on that is now in my head, and I've got to. When somebody says to you, I don't want to bring in my friends and family. I'm in the NFL club. I don't have anybody left. The minute somebody says that to you, you need to go back to basic training, because what they were really saying was, I don't believe what's coming out of my mouth. Because if somebody can invest $500 with me and they're going to get to partner with me for the next 12 months or the next year, and they're going to be making $5,000 a month because that's my commitment to them, if that was their number, or $12,000 in 2 years or whatever it was, and they need to find four people that are going to go along on this process with them, and they say, well, I don't have anybody I can call, it's because they don't believe them. They might believe me. They might believe in network marketing. They might believe in the products. They might believe in the comp plan. But because they won't go back and tell their friends about the greatest opportunity on the planet, their belief level is what's in question, and you've got to go back to that immediately and train and break through it. Because if it's not good enough for their friends and they want to bring in strangers, they're not believing what's coming out of their mouth. If they believe that this is the greatest deal in the world, and they've got the greatest mentor in the world, and they've got the greatest company and the greatest product, the first person they're going to be calling is their friends and family. And everybody goes, well, and this happens to me all the time. As you said at the top of this call, I do make some money, not as much as you said. But I have people all the time calling me on the phone saying, you know, you put me in this company, that company, that company, that company, and that company. And it really irritates me that when you finally found the right company, you didn't call me. And I could have gone to the old, oh man, I didn't want to call my friends and family, because those people love you for your perseverance. They believed in you, and you owe them a phone call saying, I finally figured this thing out, and I am finally going to do this thing right. And even though you might not want to hear it, I am calling you first, because I don't want you calling me in a year saying, why didn't you tell me about this one? It is critical. And when you are believing what's coming out of your mouth, you wouldn't think of doing that. You wouldn't think about leaving your best friend or your best networker or the most capable guy behind. The reason you're thinking about leaving them behind is because you really don't believe what's coming out of your mouth. And that needs to get handled fast. It needs to get handled hard. And it needs to get put in the rearview mirror. That make sense to you?
Yes, sir, it does. Tommy, is there anything I didn't ask you that you think is important for us to cover?
That was the one. No, you know, it is really, really 100% true what they say about network marketing, that it is a personal development program with a compensation plan behind it. And when you start taking personal development and you tie it to that 12-step program and you tie it to multi-level marketing, and you realize the power of what you've got, it is a sword that can be used two ways, for extreme good or extreme bad. Because I'll tell you, you learn this the way that I do it, you have got an unbelievably powerful force on your side. And what I would say to people is, understand this: you are going to build an army following you. Please, I am begging you, take those people somewhere wonderful. Don't take them off a cliff. Don't take them to some fast money deal that you know it's inevitable that it's going to crack. Take these people to someplace wonderful, someplace that they know that they can give to their kids and their grandkids. It is bigger than that little tiny 10-cent conversation where you get some upside. You know, the fast money deals make me crazy, because that's just what they are. And the trouble with them is they blow up, and you're standing there looking, what happened? And all those friends of yours saying, he did it again. So please, if you do anything, choose wisely, because you've got people's lives at stake. It's not about $500. It's about their hope. So please, take that hope of theirs seriously.
Tom Chenault, we're done.
Yippee! Thank you. That was a great time.
Well, I can be over the top, but I rarely say, I think this is the best conversation I've had about the prospecting process in my career. And that's honest and true. Well, you know, heck, I've been screaming relationships. I started talking relationships 20-plus years ago. I got criticized by everybody and their brother. This is a business. Cut it out. Nyit, 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 nyit. And I persevered, not happily so, because, like you, I'm not a fan of rejection, but I have loved watching the evolution, not just of network marketing, but of internet marketing, of all kinds of marketing, where now everybody and their brother is saying it's all about the relationship. It's all about the relationship, you know? And it's like, oh, Lord. I mean, when you're ahead of your time, you get beat up a little bit. So certainly you've played into my hands. I'm thrilled to hear such a clean and clear and spiritual and sensitive and focused on the other person, not on yourself, methodology so fully explained about bringing people into this business, about prospecting. So I think it's wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
What's so funny is by telling them not to go to mastersofenrollment.com, you know that's where they're going.
Yeah, well.
I
know you.
Yeah.
I know you well enough to know that you actually meant what you said when you said don't go.
Yeah, that is so funny. Yeah, so, yeah, I really, that you did a beautiful job, John, that's all I can tell you. And I think we got the essence of what we're doing down on a sound bite, and that was perfect.
All right, my dear sponsor, I will be grabbing you for a three-way sometime today.
I love you, baby. Have nothing but fun.
Thanks, Tom.
See you later.